Been reading this travel brochure here now for quite a few years. Amen. I'm ready for the trip. Amen. I tell this often. My wife and I went several years ago. You can be turning to the book of Nehemiah chapter number 2. Several years ago, we went to Hawaii, and we looked at everything we could find on Hawaii on the internet, and we had that thing so built up in our minds we was afraid we'd be disappointed when we got there. And what we found out was pictures didn't do it justice. Amen. And I don't think you can sing about heaven too much. I don't think you can preach about heaven too much. It's still going to be heaven when we get there. Amen. Yeah. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Going to read a few verses of scripture tonight and just share a simple thought with you. In Nehemiah chapter number 2, if you're there, say amen. Amen. Look with me at verse number 17 of Nehemiah chapter number 2. Verse number 17. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them, the hand of my God, which was good upon me. I like that phrase. I pray the hand of God is good upon me tonight. I pray the hand of God is good upon our church as we go out back into the world tomorrow. Amen? Amen. He said, the hand of my God is good upon me. He said, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me, and they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat, the Horonite, and Tobiah, the servant of the Amorite, lost my place. Yeah, I know I'm in 19. And Geshem, the Arabian, heard it. They laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing you do? Will ye rebel against the king? Then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we his servants will arise and build, but ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. In the book of Nehemiah, if you know the story, there's a remnant of people, and the gates of the city of Jerusalem are destroyed. And this man, Nehemiah, gets a burden about those walls that are broken down. And he is a servant of Artaxerxes, the king. And the king noticed, as he comes in and out before the king, the king noticed that old Nehemiah is kind of down in the mouth and seemed like he might be a little discouraged. And the king asked him, said, what's bothering you? He said, well, it's the walls of my hometown. They lie in waste. And he said, well, go fix them. That sounds pretty simple, doesn't it? Just go fix it. Amen. So he returns and gets a little group of people, and they do this miraculous job in a very short time. Now I want you to notice that the task they're undertaking is big. It's no little thing. By the way, the task we undertake as a church is a big thing. Preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is a big thing. Running your bus route Sunday after Sunday, picking up little boys and girls, it's not a little thing, friend. That is a big thing. Teaching your Sunday school class, whether it be beginner age boys and girls or teenagers or middle-aged young couples or old folks, it doesn't matter. Whatever you're doing for God, it is a big job. Understand that. Understand what you do for God is a big thing. Amen. Everything counts, and God's keeping records. Amen. And even the little things are necessary to get the work of the Lord done. But remember, those little things are big things in the sight of God. Just as much as God sees me standing in the pulpit and preaching this morning and people getting saved, just as much as God sees that and is pleased with that, God is pleased with the one who cleaned out the toilet. God is pleased with the one who carried out the garbage. God is pleased with the one who cut off the lights or cut the lights on and set the air. I'm telling you, everything we do for God is a big job. Amen. Now, in our story, with a big job always comes a big enemy. You need to understand that you have an enemy. That's exactly what the devil's called in the book of Ephesians. He said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, that's 1 Timothy, ain't it? 1 Peter, yeah, it's in the Bible. 1 Peter 5:8. He said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You have an enemy, understand that. Hey, listen, God wants you to have a godly home. The devil wants to destroy it. God wants you to raise godly, God-fearing kids. The devil wants to defile them. You understand that? God wants you to have a clean thought life, and the devil wants to trash up your mind. Amen. I'll prove that to you. You're going to have your worst thoughts while you're trying to pray. If you're going to think something wicked, it's while you're trying to pray. Amen. If you're going to think a wicked thought, it's going to be while you're trying to read that Bible. What is that? That's spiritual wickedness in high places. That's the devil coming at you trying to hinder the work of God and your walk with God. I want you to notice, even though these fellas had a great enemy, they did a great job. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is, in spite of the devil, in spite of everything he throws, we can go on. We can be successful. Nehemiah looked in the face of the enemy right there in verse number 20. Here's what he told them. Basically, I'm going to give you the redneck version. We don't give a rip what you think. We're going to do this and we will prosper. That's what he said. He said, I don't care what y'all think. We're going to do it, and we're going to do it well, and you ain't going to have one part of it. Amen. You're not going to have any part of it. By the way, when we stand before God, both small and great, amen, I'm telling you, the devil ain't going to have no part. He ain't going to have no part of the work of God. He's not going to get anything but damnation and hell forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. I say, let the church roll on. Amen. We have an enemy. We've got youth rally coming up. You know what the devil's going to do? He's going to try to drag some of these teenagers down before then. Amen. He's going to try to drag them down before then. We're going to try to keep them lifted up. Amen. We're going to try to keep them propped up. We're going to keep preaching the gospel to them. Are y'all listening? We've got a real enemy. Over 19 years in this ministry, you think the devil's never stuck his head up? Brother Harvey, I forgot to let you come. I'll do that at the end of service. That's all right. Brother Harvey, it started. How many now? Three or four? This is the third. Has the devil gave you any trouble along the way? Oh, yeah. Listen, somebody said to me one time, I'll tell you who it was, Brother Charlie Ryder. Brother Charlie got saved at my house on my front porch. I led Charlie to the Lord. And Charlie, several years later, Charlie looked at me one day as he was in the hospital. He said, preacher, I'll be honest with you. He said, I didn't have this much trouble when I was lost and on my way to hell. I said, Charlie, the devil didn't have no reason to pick at you when you was lost and on your way to hell. He already had you then. Amen. And I remembered that illustration. When Brother Tommy was in the hospital, thought he was having a heart attack, me and Brother Freddie went down to see him. And I'm sitting there in the hospital, and that little machine's by Brother Tommy's bed, and that thing's got that thing, that monitor. What do you call that? The heart rate monitor, whatever it is. It's got that line on it. It's going beep, 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 beep. Charlie, just the day before, had said, I'm tired of all these ups and downs. I'm sick and tired of all this up and down. And there that little line was going up and down and up and down. The Holy Ghost said, that's life. Yeah. That's life, friend. Here's the alternative. Beep. I shared that with Brother Charlie, and it blessed his heart. Amen. He said, I got you, preacher. I got you. Amen. Amen. There's going to be ups and downs. There's going to be battles. Listen, the devil does not want us doing what we do. He don't want you to stay in the bus ministry. He don't want you to keep teaching your Sunday school class. He don't want you on your knees praying. That's where you get your power. He don't want you in this book of reading. That's where you figure out his devices. Amen. I'm here to tell you, even with an enemy as great as the devil, and by the way, you're no match for him. I hear them TV preachers. Them TV preachers are so full of themselves. I hear them guys get on there and command Lucifer to do this and command Lucifer to do that. You might as well go out there and command that freight train to stop when it comes by. You might as well go ahead and command the wind not to blow. You have no power against Satan. But our big brother does. Amen. We are serving one who does. I'm saying with Christ you can make it and you can go on and you can live for God and you can have, like he said, you can prosper, you can have success. I ain't just talking about money. I'm talking about spiritual success. Yes, amen. I'm going to tell you how these guys did it. I want you to notice in verse number 2, I think it is. No, verse number 6. Verse number 6, I'm going to show you how they got this thing done. He said, and the king said unto me, the queen also sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be? And when wilt thou return? Now watch this. So it pleased the king to what? Send me, and I set him a time. I want you to notice, first of all, they got the work done because they had them a proclamation from the king. When you have a proclamation from the king, you can get the job done for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Have you got a proclamation from the king? Listen, they had the king's authority. Woo! Can I say to you, I've got a proclamation from the king. He said, go ye out in the highways and the hedges, compel them to come in that my house may be full. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. He said, go tell the world what I did at Bloody Calvary. And you have a proclamation. Hey, we've got a proclamation from the king to run them buses. Amen. On what authority you go pick them children up? This authority right here. It's not just the authority, it's the final authority. Amen. Amen. This is the book that will settle it all. As they say, the buck stops here. Amen. Amen. We have a proclamation from the king. Yeah. Amen. I remember when I got my personal proclamation when God called me to preach. How about that? Some of you guys say amen. Amen. I wonder, are you pleasing the king and you're preaching now? Amen. We have a proclamation from the king. We can get the job done because Jesus said we could. He told Joshua back yonder, he said, be of good courage. He said, I'm with you. He told you in the New Testament he'd never leave you and never forsake you. He told you in the New Testament you could do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm here to tell you tonight, we have a proclamation from the king. Amen. We have the word of the king. And then they went out in verse number 7. Watch this. Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Jordan. Listen, they not only had the word of the king, or the authority in the word of the king, but they went in the name of the king. They went in the name of the king. Somebody said, why do y'all pray in Jesus' name? Because this is what we're doing. This is in his name. At youth choir sang in Jesus' name just a while ago. We preached this morning in Jesus' name. We done everything we've done here today in Jesus' name. We took up the offering in Jesus' name. We taught Sunday school classes in Jesus' name. We run buses up and down the road in Jesus' name. If we do it in my name, it will fail. If we do it in Charles Dyer's name, it will fail. If we do it in the deacon's name, it will fail. But if we do it in Jesus' name, with the authority from the king, boys and girls, I'm here to tell you, we can do things that'll blow your mind. Amen. Why are so many blowing out and not making it? They're running on their own power. They're running on their own authority. You know what? You love to buck this book, don't you? Well, don't die on me now. I don't know how many times I've heard, well, I don't know. I just don't see anything wrong with this. Or I don't see anything. It doesn't matter what you see. Well, preacher, I don't think. I wish you wouldn't. I really do. You get yourself in a mess every time you do. Well, preacher, I just don't think. God didn't ask you your opinion before he wrote the book. He didn't wait till you came along to give his word. He gave it long before you got here. Hallelujah. And it was the final authority then, and it's the final authority now. Question the word of God. How dare us? Amen. Oh, I have people. I had that little snotty dude. Is it okay to say snotty dude? I just did. A little snotty dude. Preacher spotted him. We sitting on the platform. Preacher spotted him when he come in the door. He leaned over to me. I was in Benton, Arkansas. He leaned over to me. He said, there's the devil. I said, what? He said, there's the devil. Just come in and sit out on the back row. He said, he's a pastor over here somewhere. He went to some Bible college. Said he comes over here every time we have a meeting, judges everything we do, and goes back and tells the pastoral association how wicked we are. He said, you watch him. He won't sing one hymn. He won't open his Bible when you preach. You watch him. I wished he hadn't told me that. Sometimes I don't want to know. So the whole time I'm preaching, I'm zeroed in on Mr. Devil back there. And I'm like, I done got mad. Time I'm preaching, I done got me a mad on, and I'm like, get you some of this, big boy. I hit that king. He said, oh, he's a NIV Bible correct. Boy, I felt led of the Holy Ghost to help that dear man. Amen. Started out of the church, and he stuck his hand out to shake my hand. And as he's shaking my hand, he said, now you don't actually believe every word in that Bible is correct. I just clamped down real good. I said, yeah, boy. I said, it'd take a fool not to. I said, preacher, was you in the flesh 150%? And if he'd have mouthed off, I'd have wrung his jaws right then and there. How dare us cast doubt on the Word of God? How dare, man, this is our authority right here. This is why we get to do what we do. We have a proclamation from the King. Amen. And people make fun and laugh at our guys standing on a street corner saying, you must be born again, holding up a scripture sign. That's the way all churches did 100 years ago. It's a bunch of backstabbing, it's a bunch of weak-kneed liberal crowd. Hey, you know what it is? It bothers them that somebody's out there preaching the gospel. Everyone that turns up their nose, rolls up their window, I'll have one of them fish symbols on the back of your car or their car. Are y'all listening? It ain't the world that don't like us, it's that religious crowd. But you got to remember, it was that same bunch that put Jesus on the cross at Calvary. They ain't never liked it. They ain't never gonna like it. They're gonna do like the enemy did here. They're gonna stand around and run their mouth the whole time we're trying to do something for God. You know what Nehemiah told them? They said, come down here and talk with us a spell. He said, why should I come down there? I'm doing a good work. In other words, we ain't got time to fool you. You so far beneath what we doing. What we're doing so far more important than what you've got to say. We got a proclamation from the King. We're here by the authority of the King. Shut your mouth. Go on down the road. You say, preacher, that's a little bit. No, it ain't hard enough. We got to understand, man, we're doing God's business. We're a representative of heaven. They sang that heaven medley a while ago. Hey, we're a representative of that place. We're ambassadors for that other country over there. We're here on a mission, man. Y'all remember the Blues Brothers? Hey, I wasn't always saved, man. They trying to raise that money for that orphanage. Old Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi, they said, we're on a mission from God. Amen. That's what we are. We're on a mission from God, friend. I lost some of y'all right there. I don't know why. We're on a mission from God. Amen. And we have the Word of God to back up everything we teach, everything we do. Hey, here it is right here. We got the letter from the King. We're here in His name. Hallelujah. I didn't think this would preach, but I'm liking it. Amen. This new Bible's got some preaching in it. I done figured it out. Amen. Let's see. We have the authority of the King. Now, I'm going to leave that off right there. Just let me go to the next one. Look at verse number 8. He said, and a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertaineth to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of my God upon me. Now listen, they were not only successful because they had the proclamation from the king, but they were successful because they had the provision from the king. Amen. They didn't. Hey, he said, command that they give me timber. I like that. I prayed that just a little while ago. God, command somebody to give us what we need. That's how the church has always operated. It's how it always will. Somebody can write a check and pay this building off. Somebody can pay to build a new building over here where that old house is at. I'm here to tell you, man, God has the provision. We walk around like our God is broke. We act like, God forbid, this bunch of Baptists, man. I mean, we mealy-mouth and hem-haw around. Worry about money, 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 money. God has plenty. He's not worried. This economy ain't affected his coffers one bit. Y'all listening? Man, he'd provide for us if we'd trust him. I like the way old Nehemiah did it. Nehemiah's thinking, wasn't the king's? He's behind this. I'm just going to go ahead and get everything I can while I'm here. Amen. I'm just going to go ahead and ask for it all, man. I'm not just going to ask for permission to go build the wall. I'm going to ask for the material to get the job done. I'm glad, thanks be unto God, we have the provision of the Lord. He supplies every need. He supplies every drop of gas that goes in every bus. He supplies every gospel tract that's handed out. He supplies every little bit of electricity flowing through them bulbs. He supplies every bit of cold air coming out of them vents right over. Are y'all listening to me tonight? This is all a provision of God. Somebody said, no, these lights are on because I give. You're stupid. I probably shouldn't have said that. Some people get the idea, well, this place wouldn't make it if I left. He's been richer than you left. Y'all okay? This place ain't about one man and his checkbook. Ain't never been, never will be. Y'all all right? Yes, we give. But you know what you give? You give God back what belongs to him already. You need to get a grip. Well, I give my money. No, it ain't. How much of that money would you have if God had not provided you with it? That ain't even in my notes. Let me ask you that question again. How much money would be in your checking account had not God provided you with it? You say, no, sir, I work for that money. Who gave you the help to work for that money? Who gave you mind enough to do your job? Who got you up in the morning to go to that job? It was God Almighty. I'm saying we have provision from the King. Amen. He told them over in the book of Acts, he said, y'all go up yonder and hide. That's what he said. Till you be endued with power. You know what that was? That was his provision for the preaching of the cross. That's what we preached this morning, Brother Freddie. We talked about the cross all through the Bible. It is the power of God unto salvation, man. Hey, we have God's provision. I don't have to get in the pulpit and worry that I have nothing to say. Over an old building, I asked a guy to preach one Sunday to the kids. Our preacher, our Brother Paul Fields, was our junior church pastor, and he was sick. And at the last minute, there I was having to hunt somebody to preach to the kids. I asked a boy in the church, I said, won't you run down there and preach to them kids? He said, I don't have anything. I said, well, put your Bible up and go home. Amen. Y'all okay? Yeah. Well, I just don't have anything. I didn't ask you if you had an alliterated outline. You got a Bible in your hand. You have a provision from God. Why don't you open that thing and trust God to fill your mouth? Just because you ain't got time to go home and get on the internet and dig something up, why don't you just trust God? Run to John 3:16. Point them youngins to Calvary. Now shut your mouth and get down there and preach. Or don't ever expect to preach here again. Y'all okay? Well, I'm just saying we have a provision. My problem is not figuring out what to preach. It's figuring out what not to. Can I get a witness right there? There's a sermon in every verse of this book. That's a bunch of them, ain't it? Amen. Some of them I found out are better the second time around. Amen. The provision of the King speaks of God's ability. He's able. Amen. They went forth to labor with what God had given them. They went out and used what God gave them. Listen, I won't stay on this long, but I do want to mention it. We're not in the saving business, money saving business. We're in the soul saving business. Yeah. We're not hoarding up money. Somebody said, how much money do you have in the bank? Very little. Less than that, Brother Freddie said. That's right. Very little. I know churches. I know one in this town that's probably got several hundred thousand dollars in a banking account. Y'all okay? And they're not in a building program. They have stock in Pepsi Cola. I'm not beating them up tonight, but that ain't what God called us to do. Let me tell you something. If we had several hundred thousand dollars in an account somewhere and we wasn't fixing to build a building, Brother Harvey Ware wouldn't have to wonder where the money's going to come from to get them churches up and running. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. He'd know, Brother. All I got to do is make one phone call. Brother Eddie's loaded. Yeah. And he thinks he's loaded to give it away. Amen. Yeah. Y'all all right? People sitting on hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars around this country, and people dying and going to hell every day. Missionaries begging. 8 phone calls a week I get from missionaries wanting support to help them to get to the mission field to preach the gospel. How dare that crowd? You know what they're doing? You know what they're doing? It's like them servants over in the New Testament. Their master gave them all some money and told them to take care of his money while he was gone. He come back and one doubled it and one did this and multiplied the money. He went to the one and he said he hid it in a napkin. You know what the Lord called him? The Lord called him a slothful servant. He said, "You're a lazy bum. I gave you this provision and you did nothing with it." I don't want to be the church that has the provision of the Holy Ghost of God and the power of God and the power of the gospel and do nothing with it. Amen. Amen. I believe with the proclamation of the King and the provision of the King, we can get something done for God. Listen, this provision of the King speaks of His ability. God can handle it. God can handle it all. Amen. Listen, man, this time a year ago, we had 28 people in this church out of work. Some of our very best givers and tithers. Don't die on me now. As far as I know, ain't but a couple out of work now. What are you saying? We made it through it. This crowd around here, oh, they're going to have to shut their doors. You know how that's Sanballat and Tobiah. That's the enemy. I'm not entertaining that garbage. I'm not entertaining that junk. If God put me here, whoo, God can keep me here. People mess up because they look at what they have and what they can do. But I'm not looking at what we have and what we can do. I'm looking at what He has and what He can do. I remember circling every now and then. If I'm coming from the west, when I'm flying home, if I'm coming from the west, a lot of times the holding pattern that they put the planes in comes right over this church. And if it's a clear day, I can see it clear as a bell. Blew my mind first time I saw it. First time I saw it was before we owned it. And I was worried to death about it. Brother, I was having second thoughts. God, have I made the biggest mistake of my life? We're in the process of buying this thing. And I don't know why, if it was Holy Ghost led or not. I stuck my thumb up to the window. All 4 acres disappeared. All 4 buildings gone. I said, wow, it don't look so big from here. Holy Ghost said, how you think it looks from where I sit? I about had a spell on the airplane. I thought, my God, you're right. This main thing that is so big and so massive to me, this loan that is so huge, God, it never dawned on me. It's nothing to you. It's not even pocket change to you. Amen. The provision of the King spoke of His ability. He is able. And it also spoke of His assurance, or their assurance. Listen, where the Lord leads, He provides. Amen. Where the Lord leads, He provides. You know how I know the Lord's going to take care of us? I'm talking about our church. Do you know how I know He's going to? Because He's here every Sunday. Somebody shook my hand going out the door last week and said, Boy, ain't no sleeping in your church. I said it's hard sleep where the Holy Ghost is at. Amen. Let me say it again. It's hard sleep where the Holy Ghost is at. You get the Holy. Hey, you go to them old dead churches, I preach in them and I want to go to sleep. I find myself preaching going, dried up, dead. I'm talking about dead. If the Holy Ghost came through that place, they would have a heart attack, curl up and die. Y'all listening? The Lord favors us. I would rather, and I hope the Lord, He knows my heart, I would rather the Lord bless us with His presence every week than a big old check every week. That's one thing money can't buy, is His presence. And you better not take it for granted that you're in a church where Jesus shows up week in and week out and week in and week out. Sunday morning after Sunday morning after Sunday morning, the wind blows through here and the Holy Ghost comes in and sits in this service with us and touches people's lives and changes people's lives. Thank God we have the assurance. We have the assurance in the presence of God. He's not going to bankrupt where He goes to church. Y'all considered that? Yeah. Lord's not going to let us lose this building. He's going to say, no, wait. That's where I go. Yeah. That's my church. That's where I go to church. One of them.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Well, now, he's so cool. He goes to so many churches at the same time. I bet he went to White Oak this morning, too. Yeah. Amen. I bet he went to Fullerville. Oh, he might have. Somebody text that right on over to Brother Swafford. Twitter him, why don't you? Amen. Are y'all listening? We have the assurance by His presence. You know what gave these people confidence? The presence of that King. The presence of that King, man, everywhere they went. You know what they had in their hand? They had them letters in their hand. Woo! Anybody question what they were doing? Read it and weep, son. Hey, Tobiah, let me quote you one, son. That's exciting, ain't it? Hey, man, you better not take it for granted that we have His presence here. Because He can depart. I know churches that He has. I know churches in Paulding County, Villarica. When I grew up, Brother Charles is on fire for God. I remember going to revival meetings in them where the power of God is preached. And now they wouldn't know the Lord if they met Him in the road. Well, I was in the hospital the other night visiting Aunt Bonnie, me and Brother Charles, before she went to surgery. And there was a lady from a church here in town in there with her. And try to be careful because I do want you to put this on the internet. But we were talking, and she mentioned a church near us. And I said, you know, it's a shame. I said, I went there when I was a little boy. I said, Brother Charles Williams pastored there years ago. She said, what's a shame? I said, they don't even have a Bible anymore. She said, what do you mean they don't even have a Bible? I said, they quit preaching the King James a long time ago. She said, well, I don't think that's necessary. Aunt Bonnie raised up. She had that little blue hat on her head, you know. She raised up on her elbow. She said, well, you'd be an idiot not to believe the Bible. She said, I can't believe no family of mine don't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. She let her rip, didn't she, Brother Charles? She set that business straight right quick. Amen. I've watched God take His hand off of ministries that used to thrive. Don't take this for granted. I believe it'll be this way as long as we're around. Well, one day, me and Brother Freddie and Brother Charles, Brother Atkins, we're going to be out here. And somebody else is going to run this show. It's up to me and you what we leave them. Amen. Well, they had the proclamation of the King. We have the proclamation of the King. Amen. I believe God blessing this place because we're doing what He told us to. Now, everything we do, He didn't tell us to. He didn't tell this crowd to have a Weight Watchers thing. That's just a side thing. He didn't tell us to have a youth choir. Y'all all right? He didn't tell us, but he blesses it because we do what he did tell us to do. Do you understand that? Because we keep the main thing the main thing. And the main thing's keeping men and women, boys and girls out of hell. Amen. You know what? It'd be hard to get up on Sunday morning and find a sermon on Calvary. Well, don't die on me. I'm talking about on TV. I didn't say that, did I? It'd be hard to get up and find a sermon on Calvary on the television. I bet you a dime to a donut, Joel Osteen has never taken a text from the Bible and preached an entire sermon on Calvary. What's happening? The main thing ain't the main thing. We've had people leave our church because they get tired of me preaching salvation messages on Sunday morning. You better roll your britches legs up, because it ain't going to change no time soon. I'm going to preach Jesus and Him crucified, risen, and coming again. I ain't never backing up on it. Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Ain't going to be no social network ministry around here. We're going to preach the gospel of Jesus. We're going to take the provisions of God, and we're going to take the proclamation of God and do exactly what the letter said to do. Amen. There was a proclamation by the king. There was the provision of the king. Can I just give you a couple more right fast? I won't be long. That was the message right there. But then there was the preparation for the work. The preparation for the work. Look at verse number 11. Verse number 11. He said, I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. He said, I rose in the night and some few men with me. Neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. Neither was there any beast with me, save the beast I rode upon. He said, and I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Now listen, they was preparing for the work. You know what he did? He had to survey the difficulties. He had to survey the difficulties. Difficulty number one. Before I ever start building walls, I got to do something with all that rubble. I got to do something with all that broke down stuff. All that's got to be moved before I can build again. Sometimes we ought to survey the work. You may have to take the trash out before you can build something new. Amen? We're going to have to survey this. That's going to be a big job. Sometimes I'm the world's worst. Just jump into something without even thinking about it. Anybody like that? I mean, just jump headlong, about kill yourself doing it. I learned a while back I'm not 10 foot tall and bulletproof. I'm a human being. I'm learning what my abilities are and my limitations are. Nehemiah was wise enough that he went and surveyed the situation beforehand. He figured out what it was going to take before he went. Listen, there was preparation from the work. No opportunity, watch this, without opposition. Let me say it again. There is no opportunity without opposition. He saw the enemy there. Understand, let me say it again. There's no opportunity without opposition. You get right with God and you start doing something for God, somebody's going to talk about you. The devil's number one tool ain't a can of beer. His number one tool ain't adultery. It ain't drugs. Are y'all listening to me? His number one tool is the mouth of other Christians. I see more people get out of church over somebody talked about them than I ever have somebody in adultery. Brother Harvey been around a while. Ain't that true? It's always their feelings are hurt. We knock on doors and invite people to church and they say, well, we used to go to church, but we got hurt. We got hurt. We got hurt. Well, you got hurt in your family before. You quit that. Got your feelings hurt at work before. Did you quit that too? No opportunity. The Lord gives you an opportunity to do something for Him. There will be opposition. Just and don't be shocked when it's in this room. People at First Baptist ain't hindering me. People at Fullerville ain't never tried to be no hindrance to me. But they people sitting in this room has. I've had them come right here. Stand, I'm right there. during fellowship on Sunday morning, and right before I got to preach, and try to tell me a bunch of junk I don't need to hear before I step in this pulpit. I had one lady, and we was over in the old building. She came right there to the front of the pulpit during fellowship and said, "Come here, I got to tell you something." I leaned over, and she told me her unwed teenage daughter was pregnant. One of my good young people told me that. I thought, "You stupid woman. You know what you've just did? You've been a hindrance to the gospel." You say, "Well, wouldn't you want to know if something?" I do, but not right before I preach. But I learned there's going to be no opportunity without opposition. I fought him. I fought him every step of the way. Paul said that we war a good warfare. He said that we contend for the faith. It's a fight. And you need to understand, just because the devil's sticking his head up don't mean you need to whine like a baby and run home. You need to roll your sleeves up and fight. Amen. You need to say, "Hey, bless God, not here, you ain't. You ain't blowing me out of here this easy. You stay around here long enough, and somebody's going to say something about you." "Well, I'll find me a church where they don't do that." It's in heaven. It's in heaven. It ain't on this planet. And now everybody's got Facebook and Twitter. That just makes it that much easier to gossip. And I don't care if you got Facebook, as long as you do ride on it. Hey man, I don't care if you want to see kids, grandkids' pictures and keep up with family, and that's fine and well. But when you go to attacking the people of God, friend, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. But it's going to happen. I've been Facebook so much it ain't funny. You know what? I don't care. I don't care. Don't even tell me the junk when you read it, because I don't care. I'm not coming down from what I'm doing and dealing with that. I don't care what preacher in what state said I've compromised and gone liberal. I don't care. He's not pastoring this church. I am. And I ain't pastoring his church. If he'd mind his own business and do the job God called him to do, but I ain't letting that slow me down. I ran into a family I hadn't seen in a while. Old Brother Gary Lutrick. Y'all remember Brother Gary? He's got one of his fingers chopped off, plays that dobro. They've been by here and sang years ago. But anyway, run into them. His wife saw me in the parking lot. She just threw her hands up and went, "Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord." And I thought, "Boy, she's glad to see me." That woman likes my preaching, son. And she finally got over to where I was at. She said, "Thank God, Brother Eddie. Thank God it ain't so." I said, "What?" She said, we read on somebody's thing, internet or whatever it was, we read on there that you'd growed your hair out long and had an earring." I said, "Yeah, I started a rock band too." I said, "You want to hear a little Sweet Home Alabama?" Amen. People say the stupidest stuff, man. And people quit over the stupidest thing. "Well, preacher, I just wanted you to know we won't be back." Why? And here we go. And I want to say, and I don't, I'm kind and I'm cordial, but I want to say, are you kidding? Really? People are mean. Hey, man. People are mean. Listen, I forgot even where I was. Oh, there ain't going to be no opportunity without opposition. God gives you a job to do. Hey, maybe some of you are going to be teaching for your first time in Vacation Bible School. Is that right? Anybody? Be the first time you've ever taught kids? Oh, everybody's experience. Good. Listen, as you start to prepare and teach those children, the devil's going to let everything in the world happen throughout that week. Every day the week of Vacation Bible School, we're going to have it in the evenings, right? Every day during the day, you're going to fight hell about a half acre. Listen, you and your husband's going to get in arguments. Probably on your way here. Well, I'm saying, just consider the source. Just consider the source. Bow your little old head and say, "God, get him off. Get him off, God. Get him off my back. Let me do what you called me and sent me to do." Listen, I said there's no opportunity without opposition, and there's no blessings without burdens. There's no blessings without burdens. Everybody thinks it's all just pie in the sky. No, there's burdens with this thing. Burdens like Tuesday, where I had to sit Watch my dear brother, my dear friend, weep as we buried his sister and her grandfather. Two caskets head to head. I didn't enjoy that. I didn't enjoy it one bit. It broke my heart. But you know what that is? That's part of the burden. Let me say this right. That's part of the burden of having the blessing of him. Does that make sense? In other words, God blesses me with his friendship, but he also burdens me with his cares and his heartaches and his burden and yours and yours and yours and yours and yours and yours and yours, everybody. Y'all understand that? I believe in evangelism. Don't get me wrong. But some men are in evangelism simply because they could never pastor. And don't get me wrong, don't say, Brother Eddie, don't believe in evangelism. Yes, I do. Thank God for evangelists. God gave us evangelists. He told us that in his word. Amen? But some of them, they can't pastor. They can't do it. Some run around the country, they too stinking mean to pastor. They better get them a tent. They better get them a tent and set up their own meetings, because ain't nobody going to have them in their church. Y'all okay? I call men in to help my church, not tear it all apart. Amen. Amen. One fella told me he had a guy in, a very well-known guy. If I said his name, you know exactly who it is, and you probably know who I'm talking about. Had him in to preach, and 8 families left his church. I said, boy, that's a good meeting, wasn't it? Y'all all right? Amen. There'll be no blessings without burdens. Just count on it. Amen. Let's see. They had the proclamation from the king. They had the provision of the king. They had preparation for the work at hand. And they had the personnel that was needed to get the job done. Amen. I'm going to stop right there. Look at me real good. I got caught up in this thing, Brother Harvey, for years, praying about God sending us people. God send us people. God send us people with means. God send us people. And God got on me one day. He said, you got what you need sitting in front of you. Well, I wish God had sent us somebody that could do this or that. Well, why don't you learn how to do this or that? God's already sent us you. God's already sent us you. Now, here's a good question. Why? Have you ever just stopped and asked the Lord, Lord, what in the world did you send me here for? Amen. Well, it was to get the help I need. That's only part of it. Yeah, he sent you here to help you. He sent you here to strengthen you and to settle you and establish you. But he sent you here to use you too. Amen. We've got what we need, Brother Freddie, to get the work done. Amen. We've got exactly what we need to run this RU program. Brother Jason, it's sitting right here. I had an outside guy call me who had experience in that, a lot of experience in that. I told him, he said, I want to come help. I said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, I've already talked to my pastor, and he thinks it'll be a good thing, blah, blah, blah. I said, I'll tell you what, let me pray about it, and you call me back. He called me back, and he said, Brother Eddie, what do you think? What do you think? I'll come over Sunday. I said, don't need you. I don't. I don't need somebody to come in here and tell him how to run the burden God put on his heart. We may not do it like they do it. We're going to do it like Happy Valley does it. Y'all okay? God provided the personnel needed to get the job done. You know what it said? Everybody worked on the part of the wall which pertaineth to their house. Wow, how about that? You know what that did? That assured that's going to do the best job they could. That's where they live. That's where they live. Amen? Wonder what pertains to your house. Wonder what pertains to your house. Is it the children's ministry? Is it the teens? What is it? Is it the bus ministry? Amen. Hey, listen. Don't you whoop her. If you have children that are in these children's ministries, locked back there with Sister Irene and Brother Jerry and Brother Jason. Hey, listen, man, you ought to invest something in that. Those are your kids. I sat and thought, I'm done preaching, I promise. I sat and thought about this the other day, Brother Freddie. Every Sunday I go back there, those kids have got candy, juice boxes, ain't no telling what all they do. And it dawned on me, where'd they get the money to do that? Did Tom give it to you? Did you get it from me? Did I take up an offering for you? It comes right out of their pocket. Every week. They love your children with all their heart. You ever just go by and stick a $5 bill in her hand? That lady goes above and beyond. They're the best children's church workers I have ever seen. Amazing. I don't even want to know how much money they spend. I really don't. I'm afraid I'd be ashamed. If they're teaching and reaching your children, invest in that part. We okay? That big old jar of candy, they took it. Who bought that? When these kids take up that offering, who do you think takes care of all that? She does. We have the personnel here. And God will send more as we need them. He added to the church daily such as should be saved. He'll send more along the way, no doubt in my mind. But I'm not worried about who's not here. I'm worried about who is here. And what your purpose for being here is. I said the other day, somebody said to me, I said this while you were gone. Somebody said to me the other day, it's talking about, said God had put them on a shelf. I've heard that so many times. I want to know where that shelf is. I don't know where that shelf is. Somebody, y'all better check your shelf life. You leave something on the shelf too long, it'll rot. I got a saltine cracker out of the box here the other day. Y'all ever done that? Can I get a witness? It tasted like plywood. Been on the shelf too long. It's time some of you dusted it off. Got back in the saddle. And found what your purpose is not to sit, it's to serve. It's okay to sit for a while, but boy, they got to be a place where you'll die. You will literally die if you're not doing what God wants you to do. You'll die. You cannot sit here and be spiritually well not obeying what God's asked you to do. Amen. I lost my family. Brother Todd, are you here? Yeah, y'all come on. Get us a song tonight. Let's stand to our feet. I hope that was a help tonight. Do you realize tonight we're on a mission from God? We have a proclamation. Do what? Yes, sit back down. I'm sorry, guys. I wish y'all keep that up. That's like that offering for Brother Jason's co-worker that fell and got killed. I meant to take that offering up for 3 Sundays. By the time I get through preaching, all that stuff's gone out of my head. It's gone. And I forget it. And it's not bad that you say, hey, Brother Eddie, you forgot. Please, that's helpful. Come on, Brother Harvey, tell us about that new church, bro. Amen. Amen. Listen to me. Give some microphone there, Brother James. Listen to me careful. Everything he's about to tell you, you have a part in.
Amen.
That's right.
Everything he's about to tell you, we have an investment there. We don't support jacklegs. We don't support people that are over in a beach somewhere on vacation. We support men of God that are doing the work of God. Come on, Brother Harvey. I love you, preacher.
Thank you, good Brother to see Eddie. Thank you so much. What a joy it is to be in the Lord's house. Amen. Amen. How the word of the Lord challenges our heart. Amen.
Whoa. Yeah.
I tell you, the Lord will keep his work going.
Yes, amen. He will.
Amen. I thought while he was preaching about those times when you had so many people unemployed, you never failed every month to send that mission offering. Amen. And you know, You must either be a missionary or you must send a missionary. Amen.
That's right, brother.
There are only two kinds of missionaries, the one that goes and the other one that sends. And together that makes a missionary. Amen. A man with a message. And so I was thinking tonight as we sat there and listened to the preacher preach the word of the Lord to us. And we do have a message from the Lord. We do have a commission from the Lord. Amen. Matthew 28 and verse 18. Jesus spake unto them, saying, all power is in heaven and in earth is given unto me, our Lord said. And then he said, you go, or go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Now listen to what he said in John chapter 15 and verse 16. He said, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, that your fruit would remain. Amen. Amen. Now the fruit of a Christian is another Christian, isn't it? And the fruit of a church is another church. Amen. I was here a few weeks ago, and you commissioned Brother Caleb and sent him out to start another church. Amen. That's the thing God called us to do. He calls individuals to go. He calls churches to send. And together we get the walls built. We get testimonies built. That's what a wall was a testimony. Testimony of Jerusalem was torn down. The testimony of America is in shambles as we sit here tonight. Oh, I'd say we would all be horror-stricken if we knew how close we were to the end of knowing America as we have always known her. If we only knew, we'd be stricken with horror. Oh, dear friend, the need is not at the White House. The need is at your house and my house and the church house. That's where the need of America is tonight. God Almighty puts up whom he will, and he takes down whom he will. Oh, beloved, do you realize we're the fourth largest mission field of the planet tonight? You realize our country is headed for socialism in a full run. The devil hates the preaching of the gospel. But I'm going to tell you, God will still be doing miracles, and God will still be sending Nehemiahs until Jesus comes again to take us home. But oh, dear friend, let us not take for granted, as the preacher exercised us in the sermon tonight, let us not take for granted the provisions and the need that is before us, that we would be faithful to that cause. Amen. I want to say thank you again for every support check that you have sent to us. We're very grateful for that. We're down to the finishing up of this building. I'm already praying for where we're going next. We need the preacher. Brother Eddie, we're talking with a man, praying with a man now about this work. And you talk about oppositions. They're there in this work. They're here in this work here. They're in the work that we do. And dear friend, you must be like Nehemiah when Sanballat and Tobiah wanted him to come down to Ono. He said, oh no, to Ono. Doing a good work and I can't come down. And dear friend, I thank God for people like you that keep us going. And I want to tell you, this church, as well as the other two churches, are paid for. The devil cannot hold a preacher bound down because he can't preach, because he's got to pay for a building. Thank God the building's already paid for. Amen. And God has people that love him enough that will give their money to cause the kingdom of God to press on. Amen. God is not outdone by the economic situation in our country. God is still in business. And you know, sometimes we find ourselves guilty of being so conscious of the economy. And we do have a problem. I understand that. But we are the household of faith. We have a God who is greater than all the gold that might have been in Fort Knox. Amen. I'm embarrassed to tell this, but it's true. When I was dealing with the people about buying this property that we're finishing up now, I asked the man, I said, are you folks, they were the First Baptist Church in that town, the only Baptist church, so far as I've been able to find out, that ever been in that town. And now they had closed the doors and put the building up for sale. And so I was there to inquire about the building on the very first time that I went. And I asked the senior deacon of that church, I said, sir, are you people interested in keeping a Baptist presence in this town? He said, no, sir, we're interested in selling it and being finished with it in 60 days. So I said in my heart, oh, Lord, is this why it's come to this? But, you know, the price was a good price for the property. It was worth every penny of it. And so I said, sir, I'm a little bit concerned about that 60 days and the economy like it was. And you, just because you got gray hair, you still say silly things sometimes. I tell you, the economy didn't have nothing to do with God paying for that business, for that building. Not a bit in this world. But I said it, and I'm ashamed that I did. But I wanted to tell you how God will help you even over hurdles like that. When you make statements like that, you deserve a struggle. That's what you deserve, you know. That's what I deserved in that particular case. But I want you to know that just before I was 70 years old, I said, Lord, I'll be 70 years old in July. And now I'll be 72 here in a few days. And so I said, Lord, I can't think of a better birthday gift than I'd like to have than to have the money to pay that man for that building ahead of time. And I want you to know, by my birthday, that was within a 30-day period. I asked them for 90 days, and they committed to that in the long run of the thing. But I want you to know God paid for that building in 30 days. Amen. I'm telling you, God is able. And God sent me $15,000 from one man. There are people out there that love God. There are people sitting right here. The personnel is here. I agree with you, preacher. The personnel is here. Some of you are diamonds in the rough. Get the edges knocked off where you can really sparkle for Jesus. Amen. I tell you, I love Him, don't you? And I don't want God sending somebody else up there to a place that He wants me to go. Just because I'm hopping along on a bad leg, I tell you, I want to stay in the battle till He calls me home. Thank you, preacher.
Tell us again where the church is at.
It is in Appleton, Minnesota. Now, the first one is in Wagner, South Dakota. And the second one is in Milbank, South Dakota. And Appleton, Minnesota is about 50 miles to the east from Milbank, South Dakota. And so the Lord put those two the closest together. It's about 300 miles down to Wagner from Milbank and about 50 miles over here. Amen. So I'm looking forward for those two pastors to be able to fellowship. Amen. And so forth. And would you pray with me? I believe the Lord's wanting me to go to Nebraska the next time. I'd love to do 10 of these before Jesus calls me home. Yeah, would you pray for me and pray with me? Thank you. I love you so much, Happy Valley. God bless you.